Happy Thursday morning, wherever you're listening to the Junks, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Maybe you're in New Zealand listening on the Odyssey app. We thank you for doing that. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you are looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on Twitter. John Paul Flame is here.
What's up, Cakesy?
Hello. Eric Bickle,
hey,
also
buddy.
Sitting to my right. Sitting across from me, a guy I haven't seen in a while, Jason Bishop.
Hey,
he's back.
Up? It's been since December 13th that all four of us were in this building.
Is that correct?
In this building.
Wasn't even sure.
I mean, we had the holiday show, but.
That's right.
In this studio, December 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's up?
Welcome back.
Good to see you guys.
Traffic snafus on your first day back to work.
Accident on the 14th Street Bridge. Shut three lanes down. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to be buying breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to make a lot of moves. GW Parkway was open, which got me excited, and then had to jump on 66 and Clara Barton Parkway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know what I did.
Hey, you got here.
So you were caught in the same thing.
No, I heard as I was driving in that there was a big mess on 395.
In the same traffic cluster. Yeah. F.
I don't even know how I got here. Bailed out. I went through the Reagan Airport, looped around, went by the Lincoln Memorial, came back through that way.
Got to see the sights.
Went through the city.
Yeah, but after I sat on the 14th Street Bridge for 10 minutes.
Right. But you did the right thing, though. You did the right thing.
Yeah, I sat on it for more than 10.
I got out of there.
I sat on it for
Mars
30.
In it right now. He's stuck in it.
Mars actually coming in. I've been used to that kid now coming in like one day a week. Well, I'm starting to give him some grief about
cameos.
That. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize that he just barely comes in these days.
Well, if there's any sort of inconvenience at all, he's going to
stay home.
Yeah, I mean,
if there's a raindrop, he's going to stay home.
Yeah. Pretty much. Or, the Wizards play West Coast or something.
Yeah.
He's going to stay home.
Yeah. Well, it's good to be back. Good to see you, boys.
Well, welcome back.
Welcome back
to the great weather.
Oh, the weather's great.
So cold this morning.
Thank God, though.
Over this.
Thank God school is back for the kids, although it's delayed. But it's back.
Oh, not in PG County. My wife's having an extra week of
They don't have school in PG County?
They're off today.
Loudoun doesn't.
I think
Loudoun's off. Fairfax is off.
Yeah, in Fairfax.
Well,
yeah.
Montgomery County back, just
what
delayed.
What county is Herndon in? Is that Loudoun?
Fairfax.
That's Fairfax, yeah, because they're closed.
Yep, they are closed.
I know my volleyball practice, whatever. My daughter's volleyball practice.
Loudoun usually does what Fairfax does.
I guess there aren't enough plows and aren't enough salt to clear all the roads. I don't know.
It's just that the little side roads. I mean, I understand it. The main roads are fine. The little side roads to the neighborhoods where the buses have to go.
Yep.
They're trifling. In some areas. Main roads are fine.
Oh, yeah. Some of the roads in my county were not good.
Well,
I don't know what they're doing.
Montgomery County, which is where I live, delayed. I'm just happy because it gives me a couple hour break. I went sledding for the third day in a row.
I would say don't celebrate too quickly. don't Leon let it because they could pivot. It could say overnight that it didn't melt as much as we thought or whatever. I would just say it's happened before. You're probably good.
It's a probably good old guy reference, Leon Lett. I saw that low light a few, I guess, around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it still blows my mind that hee-haw went and touched the ball.
Right.
It's 35 years later. I don't know how when that happened, but it happened a long time ago.
Yeah. So EB was asking me about Kelsey, and I talked to her last night around 10 p.m. Your wife was nice and was texting. A lot of people reach out, and how's Kelsey? And she lives in West Hollywood. And as of 10 p.m. last night, she was in what they call the safe zone.
Mm-hmm.
They have the red zone, which you have to evacuate. The yellow zone means, hey, you might want to evacuate. But the yellow zone was actually only a block or two away off of Sunset Boulevard, where she's close to. And so she was kind of planning on leaving. She had a bag ready to go. She had a friend's house. When she was FaceTimed me twice last night. Not because she typically FaceTimes me to talk. Usually we'll just talk on the phone. Mm. She FaceTimed me because she couldn't figure out how to get the cable out of her cable box because she was moving from the second floor to a little bit bigger apartment on the fourth floor, where she said, me and my son will have more space to sleep on the floor next week.
Nice. She still has cable is the biggest takeaway from
what do you mean
me.
she couldn't take the cable out? I don't know.
I don't think she understood the coaxial cable in the box, if she was supposed to leave that in that apartment or move it. And then she brought the cable box to the new apartment. She didn't have a coax cable. I was like, well, yeah, you go take that sucker and you put it in the wall, and then coaxial that wall cable, goes to your
unit. It just sounds like such a dinosaur thing now.
Right.
So you're going out there. When are you going out there?
Next weekend.
It's brutal out there, man. I just can't imagine. Ben Affleck lost his home. Steve Guttenberg lost his home. Bunch of people just lost massive, massive.
Yeah, one of Kelsey's friends, she said she'd only been to the house a couple times. It was her parents, lived in Pacific Palisades, really nice home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's nothing left.
Zippy.
Nothing.
Yeah, burned
zero.
To the ground.
There's a foundation. You know, our agent's wife probably still lives there.
Yeah.
She probably lost her home.
Hopefully her home is still standing, but I have no idea.
We probably should send her a just check-in email.
That's what's left of that person's house.
Don't you think?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Don't you think we should send a check-in email?
Probably would be nice.
I mean, she sends us a gift every year.
It would be nice. Yeah, sure.
We probably should send a check-in email.
What was the gift this year?
It was the worst ever.
It was a bag.
It was the worst ever.
It's a duffel bag.
It looked like a 10-cent bag, but I think
it's actually a high-end bag.
My daughter said it's like a foofy brand.
I used it to hang out at the Hampton Suites this weekend.
Yeah, but isn't it? I mean, it's just it's a brand thing. Like, there's nothing particularly utilitarian about it.
It's like a rugged, like, weekend bag. Like, it should last you a long time.
What brand is it?
It's Swedish.
It's like J. It's like John Brand or
whatever. It's a foofy brand, but it looks like literally you could get it at Ross.
It's a $185 bag.
Yeah, it's the worst gift I've ever gotten.
There's a toiletry bag too, right?
I don't mean to be a jerk.
There's a toiletry bag in there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that might be used.
Which came in handy because my last toiletry bag, like the toothpaste tube came undone, just toothpaste schmutz all inside the bag.
Oh, yeah,
so it came
bad.
In at a perfect time.
Do you know my hack for that is?
I don't.
I take like a CVS bag or any sort of plastic bag, and then I cut it up, and so that lines my toiletry bags.
Well, I've never heard of such a thing. I would just go
get my hack.
I would go get a new toiletry bag. Like, if a toiletry bag gets ruined, you buy like a new one for $8 at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, you go to Marshall's, get a silly. Yeah, get a Penguin silly. Yeah.
You guys.
And that's your own life hack. Mine would be to go buy a new one or get an overpriced one sent to me by my agent.
You guys won't be shocked that I buy Crown Royal,
right?
And my wife uses some of the bags. My daughter will use the bags,
the little velvet bags. Yeah,
she uses one of the Crown Royal bags for her nail polish. And when we were on a trip, when we were in Florida, she noticed that the nail polish had cracked.
Okay,
and it had the nail polish schmutz all over the Crown Royal bag. And the
ruined
smell
it.
Ruined it.
Yeah, pwned it.
She was upset about the nail polish. I was upset that we had to get rid of the nice Crown Royal bag.
And that just means you need to go and buy another bottle of Crown Royal.
Just have to buy another bottle.
Perfect excuse to go buy another bag.
Exactly.
Another box.
Exactly.
Get it done.
You know, last night, what was it? Was there? I was watching the Caps. How'd they
Caps
end up?
Won. They won. One time. They narrowly avoided another shootout.
Well, it would have been a loss if they had gotten to a shootout.
PLD was the hero. He scored in regulation and in overtime.
It was 1-0 when I went to bed.
Yes, yeah, 2-1 final.
2-1 final.
Yeah.
Did I go to bed at the end of the second period?
How do we know when you went to bed?
No, I'm just saying, was it still 1-0?
I don't remember the
score.
Because
I watched the second period. It was pretty chippy when I was watching.
Yeah.
And went to bed early. And my wife, like, everyone was surprised when I said it. Jason will laugh at this. It was around 9.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to bed.
Huh.
And they went, what? What?
They were taken aback.
And I've talked about this dynamic before.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife goes, well, okay, I'm going to come up soon too. And I go, no, stay here.
Right.
But one thing that I'm competitive about with my wife is you know how, like, some wives are like, oh, you went and played golf with your friends today, so I'm going to go do this one. One thing I'm competitive about is sleep. I get sleep envy. And I'm like, no, you get to get up at 7 a.m. I have to get up at 4. I'm going to feel terrible if you go to bed at the same time as me.
Hmm.
You have to go to bed later than me. It's a competition.
It's weird.
I can't let you sleep. It bothers me that I get less sleep.
What if she was signaling that she wanted to, old school term, knock boots?
Yeah, unlikely.
Hey, maybe she was tired from all the shoveling that you didn't do that she did. Maybe she was tired.
She's a trooper, man. She's a strong girl.
She definitely is.
I slept like butt because, you know, the day we had to get up. The day before, you know, of a vacation.
You had the Thursday scaries.
Thursday scaries.
Yeah.
And my body woke up at midnight.
Actually, Wednesday scaries because you're coming in Thursday.
I'm coming in Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Body woke up at midnight.
Yeah.
Couldn't go back to sleep.
I panicked and went to bed like at 6 p.m. too, right?
I went to bed at like 8:30.
Ooh, that's
late for you.
Yeah, that's very late for you.
Well, I was kind of used to it.
Right.
And I couldn't get back to sleep. And I just stared at the freaking wall.
You got to get back into a rhythm.
I don't know how to do it.
The cakes and EB life hack is just booze.
Yeah, just drink before bed.
It does.
I had an IPA. I had an IPA that just didn't help.
That's our remedy. Yeah. All right, coming up on an open line Thursday, Brian Baldinger will join us at 7:20. We'll talk NFL with him. Nikki Javala covers the Commanders for the Post. She's on the show at 8. We'll talk Caps with the Doubter at 8:25. Nick Dowd is on the show. And we will break down the Bucks with a guy who's been on this show many times over the years, Ira Kaufman, Bucks and NFL columnist for JoeBucksFan.com. He will wrap up the show coming up at 9:40. So big show on an Open Line Thursday here on The Fan. Open Line Thursday is brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search WindowNation.com. They're windows. They're measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live, Ricky.
Hey, it deserves no more than 1 minute of mention.
Yeah.
Just to say that I was watching the Wizards last night.
Mm-hmm.
So the Caps were on, the Wizards were on, and I was curious to check out the Wizards. And Jared Butler was tearing it up for the Wizards. All right? Mm-hmm. He ended up with 26 points. I had to look up his resume because, all right, he wasn't one of the three guys they drafted this year.
He was not.
A couple years ago.
He wasn't, you know, a top choice like Bilal Coulibaly.
Mm-hmm. My guy.
What's the story with this guy, Jared Butler?
He's a stud college player, Baylor.
Yeah, but these guys are all over stud college.
But there's no expectations for that guy. Now Kicks has me checking, you know, in on Bilal Coulibaly again.
As you should.
Because he did have a couple of flash moments earlier this season.
Few flashes.
He did nothing again.
Did Sar? I know Sar went.
Sar didn't play.
Sar went 1-for-12 the game before.
But that's coming off of he was rookie of the month, Jason.
I know. I saw he was putting up
his
some numbers.
His numbers are decent. Like they're about
every now and then he'll put up.
But his overall numbers are about. Yeah. They're actually a little bit better maybe than I had anticipated.
And he's definitely really good, you know, blocking shots and playing defense. But Bilal, who was their first round pick last year, ended up with 5.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
and
not.
I was like, Jared Butler's not the guy who should be shining. It's fine. It's great.
Yeah.
But it should be, you know, Carrington who starts. It should be.
That should have been Coulibaly.
Keyshawn George, who starts. These are guys they just drafted.
I mean, I know.
Or Coulibaly. And the guys who are shining are Jared Butler and Corey Kispert.
I'm like, waving what's the going French on? Flag over here for Coulibaly. But he's letting me down. He played 31 minutes and gives you 5 paltry points.
6-29.
It's not great.
And they've lost 14 of 15 on the road.
They're doing their part
to
secure one of the top picks. Now, of course, there's no guarantee they're going to get the top pick, but they're going to be in the mix.
Is everyone still assuming it's going to be Cooper Flagg? Is that?
I think so.
That's what everyone's assuming.
Yeah.
All right.
So all of this for Cooper Flagg?
Possibly. I mean,
he's just a stud.
I know he's just a piece.
Not the whole thing. He's a piece.
I don't even know which of these are worth keeping.
What do you mean?
Honestly.
You mean the guys they already drafted?
Kinda, I like them all. I think Carrington
has the most potential of the guys that I've seen, along with Sar.
He's really good. He's solid, but he's no star. You know what I mean? He's just going to be like a really, really solid player.
Yeah,
probably.
Basically, anybody that's on the roster that's under like 22 or 23 are the keepers. I think is kind of the way that they're approaching it.
Yeah, but they're young. They have that in their checkbox, but they don't have the talent. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're a part of the future.
Look, I'm just telling you that's their plan. Their plan is to rebuild with a lot of young players.
I know. I'm telling you, and I've maintained this for years, that it's a hope and a prayer.
Maybe it doesn't work.
It's a hope and a prayer.
We don't know. We don't know how it's going to look.
They were a year too late.
Hope and a prayer.
They missed out on Wemby by like one number, one sequence of numbers. So close.
It's really hard to maintain interest.
I haven't seen Rutgers play, but I mean, saw some highlights. But Ron Harper's kid and this other kid, Ace Bailey, they're putting up numbers.
Are they? I'm not saying they're going high.
Oh, yeah, they'll go
high. 2, 3, 4, 5.
I have a mock draft from NBADraft.net. They have Dylan Harper 2 and Ace Bailey 3. So it's Cooper Flag 1, Harper, Bailey, both those guys at Rutgers, as Jason just mentioned.
They're both averaging 20 a game.
Probably both making a couple million.
They're definitely pulling in cash.
How's the kid in Atlanta doing?
Risa Shea?
Yeah, Risa Shea.
Oh. I think about the same as Bilal Coulibaly.
Really? That nondescript? I thought he was doing better than that.
I'll pull up his numbers right now.
I think he's like a 10-5 guy. It's going to be my guess.
He's had some flashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was doing better.
He's averaging 11 points, 3.5 rebounds, 1.2 assists, shooting 40% from the field.
Yeah. Told you.
No one cares about shooting percentage anymore.
Mike Bray told me he's a work in progress.
And again, he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, but. Yeah, isn't every 19 or 20-year-old you draft going to be a work in progress?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hating on him. I'm not saying he sucks. I mean,
Sar is a work in progress, too.
Try to average 11 points in the NBA. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but I thought maybe at least
he's averaging double figures.
Anyway, I was curious. He didn't have the TGL on TV. There was no big college basketball game that I was drawn to the night before. I was watching Georgetown, and they ended up losing. But tonight you got college football. And now it's down to the Final Four, so I'm in. I'm not a huge college football guy, but when you get to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 7:30 game. And then the Cotton Bowl, of course, is tomorrow night, and Dallas is supposed to get snow and ice.
And we've been in Dallas when there's snow and ice, and they don't handle it very well.
They don't. They don't know how to handle
you
it.
You act like we handle it well here.
We handle it better than Dallas does.
Relatively speaking.
Now, I can tell you that.
Maybe in their defense cakes, they were just caught by surprise. Because we've had awful moments here when we get caught by surprise.
They get much less winter weather than we do, too.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the materials or the manpower to do it. But I think they'll be fine because I think most of that storm will be gone by Friday afternoon, if not Friday morning.
Yeah.
So they should be fine.
Now, I'm going up to New York tomorrow. Well, actually, I think we're now going to go early Saturday morning. And I thought there was another snowstorm that was going to come by. Then my wife said now she thinks maybe there's not.
I think it's getting minimized each day.
That's great.
It probably just kind of depends on where you are.
I think you're good. I think Dina will be good when she's driving.
Yeah.
And your mouth is wide open catching flies.
Hey, Jason.
I think here they're only calling for an inch or two. I'm not sure about New York.
A dusting.
New York, I don't know.
So, Jason, yesterday we were talking a little bit about Cliff Kingsbury and how, you know, what I said was, as of yesterday, you saw all these names being rumored for interviews or lining up for interviews, including some guys who were coordinators like Cliff Kingsbury, who had interviews scheduled, who had playoff games this weekend. Joe Brady was a name, the office coordinator for the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, yesterday afternoon, we finally see Josina Anderson report that both the Bears and Saints want to talk to Cliff.
That makes sense.
Sure. My theory is that the Bears already decided. They already passed. It didn't work, whatever the disagreement was.
I don't think you can read into what Poles is doing. He's like interviewing all kinds of people.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe it's all window dressing and he knows who he wants.
I mean, I couldn't believe some of the names. I couldn't believe the Jets interviewed Rivera and Ryan.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's Woody Johnson. That's the outlier, right? Well,
what is he doing?
Well, no, I think I heard Nick Wright throw out this theory.
Yeah.
But Mike Tannenbaum is in charge of the search.
Oh, he is?
So Mike Tannenbaum used to be the GM.
Correct. Sure.
And he had Rex Ryan as coach, and he threw out a Dick Cheney reference that when Bush was looking for his VP, hired Dick Cheney to run the search. And Dick Cheney ran the search and said, you know what? I'm the best guy for the job. Right. And so Tannenbaum could do the same thing.
Well, the Jets are Woody Johnson's wacky. I mean, you saw the detail that he didn't want to pursue Jerry Jeudy like in a trade, I believe, because he didn't like his Madden rating.
Oh, really?
I saw that rumored.
All right, so he's just a dummy.
I don't know if you can fully believe he's
a unique guy.
Like, if that's the sort of thinking and rationale that's floating around at the top with the Jets,
yeah.
I mean,
then they got no shot.
It's a lot. Then it makes sense.
I'm telling you,
interviewing.
Wasn't he
Ron
going back
Rivera
to being an ambassador?
I have no idea what he's doing.
I think so.
I mean,
Yeah, but somebody else might run the show.
I mean, being an ambassador, that's the biggest joke job ever.
Hey, I'm an ambassador for the MGM National Harbor Poker Room.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not a joke. Take it very seriously.
But Jason, we went through all sort of the openings, and I honestly think
the Jets
have to be the lowest one.
Have to be.
First of all, I couldn't deal with the New York media, and then they just, they're a mess.
They got no quarterback.
And their owner.
You got to go somewhere where there's a quarterback.
They've got no quarterback. Breece Hall was kind of disappointing. You thought he was like a cornerstone of the offense. Yep. He didn't do a lot this year. I'd stay far away from the Jets.
So I would say.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they end up with like a bum, like a Rivera or even
because
a.
Because nobody wants
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I would love it if they hired Rex Ryan because he's so damn entertaining. I would freaking love it. I'm rooting for Rex Ryan.
So yesterday, we get these emails from a longtime PR guy named Jimmy Shapiro. He sends out these odds from a sports betting site with all kinds of random stuff on them. But one of the things that was listed yesterday were the odds for the head coach for each team.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets' overwhelming favorite is Aaron Glenn at 2-1. But Rex Ryan's still plus 250, so I guess he's kind of right there.
Glenn's a former Jet, if my memory serves correct.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Lions, D.C.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that Vrabel is the favorite for the Patriots job, of course, at minus 400, but he's also the favorite for the Raiders job. But right underneath him for the Raiders job is Kingsbury at 3-1.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
And Kingsbury is 10-1 for the Jags job and plus 450 for the Bears job. He's the second favorite for the Bears job.
Why would you take the Raiders job? That's got to be maybe number two worst. Like, I wouldn't want anything to do with that.
I know.
And nothing to do with it.
I mean, he has to find a quarterback, obviously.
Yeah, but that's an odyssey. Like, we've been down that road.
Be picking pretty high.
That can literally last 30 years.
Sure.
Can speak for experience.
Definitely can. I mean, they're definitely in the quarterback desert. I mean, they were rolling out Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew this year. I mean, it's
you can't
gross.
Take that job. I don't think, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, then he's actually a dummy.
If he takes that.
I mean, I guess you just want more money. So, okay.
He's got plenty of money. I mean, he's getting paid head coach money now by the Cardinals.
That's literally the only reason why you take that job, for money.
Right. He's not sweating the money at this point.
Okay, then he shouldn't take that job.
He definitely shouldn't take that job.
Yeah.
It's toward
but
the bottom.
But I guess it's good for you because it hypes you up.
The Raiders have done nothing in the last 20 years. Nothing. I mean, I don't even know how many times they've been in the playoffs the last 20 years.
I mean, it's an iconic franchise. I'll give it that. Not in Las Vegas, but, you know, the heritage franchise. But, yeah, no quarterback. Just they're mowing through coaches.
They've been churning through head
coaches.
They got
another eccentric owner.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't want to coach there.
They've been to the playoffs in the last, 25 years, it looks like, 4 or 5 times. Since 2002, twice.
You're lucky if you get two shots at this, right? So he basically already failed his first shot, even though he had some moments in Arizona, if you're Cliff. This is your last shot at being a head coach. You can't take the Raiders job.
No.
Just listen to the last few coaches for the Raiders. Antonio Pierce, Josh McDaniels, Rich Bisaccia. He had to be an interim after Gruden.
And they thought they were going to bring him back. So I think they played well under him.
Before Gruden, Jack Del Rio.
Right.
Tony Sperano and Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
They've had nothing.
That is a coaching wasteland, too.
Yeah.
You got to have a quarterback.
You can't. If you're Cliff, you can't take that job.
No.
You take that job if you're like,
that's
if
where
you're
crying. That's where your career goes to get beaten up.
Yeah,
in
like if no one else will hire you, like Ron. Maybe they end up with Ron. They could go. Ron could go there.
And it's not the Raiders draft 6th, I think. So it's not like they're going to. There's probably going to be a couple quarterbacks drafted high anyway in the first round.
But so they probably missed them. Unless they trade up.
Who did you say they were interviewing besides Cliff? Or did you say just Cliff? Drab? Did you say?
He was given the odds.
I was given the odds. Who?
I thought you said Cliff was Cliff and someone else was going to be
interviewed.
Vrabel.
Yeah, it just says.
Yeah, Vrabel.
Yeah, Vrabel
well, I don't know
that.
If Vrabel. Has he interviewed for them or is he just interviewed for the Pats?
The Raiders are requesting Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken to get an interview with him.
Right,
I know he's on the list.
I know it's different if you haven't never gotten that shot before, but he's a pretty high profile guy.
Yeah.
I think he can do better.
How ballsy would it be, though, if Brady, who supposedly has spoken to Belichick, is able to convince Belichick to leave North Carolina before he even starts?
Well, I think they want to dive into that, because I have thoughts on that. Into that next segment. Yeah. Let's get into that. I have thoughts.
Yeah, could there be a reunion in the desert between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? Would Bill Belichick bolt from North Carolina before he even coached the game there to coach the Raiders and reunite with Tom Brady? We'll get into that next, and we'll hit the Skins coming up at 7 a.m. here on The Fan. So the last NFL coaching carousel after last offseason, people thought that Bill Belichick would probably get hired. There wasn't a lot of interest. From my recollection, he interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think he interviewed with any other teams. Didn't get any sniffs. Wound up doing some TV. Did some work with some online sites as well. Got back into coaching when North Carolina came calling. But is there a possibility that with Tom Brady now being a minority owner of the Raiders and him sitting in on interviews, could there be a reunion between Belichick and Brady
0.0.
with the Raiders?
0.0.
0%?
Yes, 0.0.
Hasn't he already told multiple people he's not interested in going back to the NFL?
He's not obsessed with the record.
I mean, I don't know what to believe because everything's just so skewed by social media. But
well, look at him. Do you think he cares what people think, really? Look at how he handles himself.
No.
He doesn't care what people think.
No, but he's done this before where he's taken a job and then done an about face.
I understand. That was a weird situation. That was a one-off weird thing that's never happened before.
I mean, I'm sure he has an out in his Carolina contract that if he wants to leave for an NFL job, he can leave.
Maybe he does that after a year. But I wouldn't see him doing that before he's fully embraced this college thing. I think, from what I understand, he went around and he visited with these college coaches. He saw how the programs are being run today. And, you know, he kind of was preparing for this for a while.
I think he's likely to stay in North Carolina, but reports are that Brady did speak to Belichick.
Well, supposedly that was just like
things. Yeah, maybe that was, who knows what they talked about.
Yeah.
We just don't have any idea.
I'm not even sure they were super duper close. Like, they were close and they won championships together, but they parted professionally.
Yeah, they had a falling out.
So, you know, I just think the chance of him leaving North Carolina after
he signs
before
a 5-year
he's even
deal.
Coached one game, zero. Now, after 1 year, maybe he decides, you know what? I do hate the recruiting grind. These kids are all spoiled, and it's impossible to win here. I'm out. That might happen, but not before he gives it the college try.
So the contract that he has states that if Belichick terminates his contract without cause prior to June 1st, mm-hmm. this year, he would owe the university $10 million.
He's not doing it.
$10 million isn't a
big deal if you're the Raiders and you're thinking about hiring Bill Belichick.
Well, yeah, if Belichick, you tell the Raiders, you better pay that.
Right.
No chance I'm paying $10 million out of my pocket.
Right. So, I mean, if he wanted to.
If they wanted to give him a Gruden deal, a 10-year deal, maybe then he would do it.
If he wanted to get back into the NFL.
How old is Belichick now? 72 or 73?
Doesn't mean you live it out.
Can't give that guy a 10-year deal.
Looks pretty good, dude. I think he looks pretty good for his
shape. He looks fine, but I'm not giving any 72 or 73-year-old a 10-year deal.
What about that name as a possible surprise somewhere, Gruden?
The league they won't allow it, I don't think.
I just went on a site.
I don't know. I've seen his name bandied about a few different spots.
I think the league would step in. I really do.
Yeah.
I just went on a site that tracks the interviews and the vacancies. And he has not been interviewed.
I think the league would step in.
Yeah, I know. His name has just been thrown
out. You're talking about John, not Jay. You're talking about John Gruden.
I was talking about John.
Right. Yeah. John Gruden, not Jay Gruden.
Yeah, not Jay. I'm talking about John.
Yeah.
Well, it could be one of those secret interviews because he doesn't have a job, so they don't have to announce that they've interviewed him.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm just telling you, there
was some smoke that teams were interested in him.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt teams are interested in him. I doubt Goodell would approve it. I just feel like Goodell would step in and go, no. He overstepped his, you know.
Too toxic. Don't want to deal with the
And
blowback.
I like him. I get a kick out of him. But, you know.
He's won a Super Bowl, but if you look at his run with the Raiders before he was fired, I think it took until his fourth season for them to make the playoffs. It was a crawl.
Third.
Was it the third? You sure?
Yeah.
I just looked at it.
98, 99, it did not. And then 2000, he made it. They went 12-4 in his third season.
Now, listen, Drab, I could be wrong.
Pretty sure.
I thought Michael Vick, I mean, if you had told me Michael Vick would have been embraced by the NFL and to be an analyst and to be a head Division I football coach, I would have bet against that too. So I definitely could be wrong. I don't know. The image from those emails, it's hard to overcome that. I don't know. We'll see. I get a kick out of the Grudens. They make me laugh, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
as far as Belichick goes, I think it's a 0.0 chance that he does some turnaround.
I think it's higher than that. Not high, but like I would give it like a 5% chance. I would.
Well,
never
the only
put
way would be
zero.
Is if someone gave him a massive deal. I know you're mocking me for the 10-year thing, but it's kind of my point. Like it would have to be something that was insane. Like a super long-term deal that they're not going to fire him after a year. I mean, coaches are getting fired after a year or two.
What if they offered him 5 years, $95 or $100 million? Like, he would have to at least consider it.
I mean, how much of that is he going to be able to spend? I mean, you know, he's dying soon.
He might just like the challenge of going to college.
Right.
I mean, he's making $10 million to coach in the ACC.
Right. Why not a change of scenery?
Back to Gruden, Jason. So his first stint with the Raiders, he got them to the playoffs in his third year. But his second stint.
Oh, is that what you're talking about? I'm sorry.
Yeah, his second stint, of course. His most recent stint, he was 4-12, 7-9, 8-8 first three seasons. Then he was 3-2, and he had to resign.
Yeah, okay.
So he was 22-31. So his most recent stint.
Okay, yeah.
Doesn't blow me away.
His first stint, yes.
He had that clown that sounded like he came from Pasadena running his war room. Was it Mike Mayock?
Yeah.
I mean, they were just doomed. That thing was doomed from the start.
Man, there's just you know, all these hot court. I would think Ben Johnson's gonna take a job this year.
He's already done four interviews.
Yeah. I don't think he's
ready to get out.
I don't think he's
going to
step back and say, "All right, I just want to stay with this team and be a coordinator." I think he'll.
But he can. Could be the Bears. Be choosy though.
I think that Dan Campbell's going to lose both of his coordinators because I think Aaron Glenn's going to get a gig too.
He could.
He's done four interviews as well,
right.
According to this tracker. Ben Johnson's interviewed with the Bears. So is Aaron Glenn. Ben Johnson's interviewed with the Patriots. Aaron Glenn is not. Ben Johnson's interviewed with Jacksonville. So is Aaron Glenn. And he's interviewed with the Raiders. Aaron Glenn is also interviewed with the Saints and the Jets.
If you're a coordinator or coach in demand, like a Kingsbury, like a Ben Johnson, or like a Vrabel, I think you can only consider New England or
Chicago.
Chicago.
Just because of the quarterbacks.
You can't take any of the other jobs. You can go in there and interview to build your stock. But you can't take those jobs. They're death jobs. You get fired there. You got to get super lucky.
Yeah. But someone's going to take them.
Yeah. But the people that take those are people that don't have they're not the top.
They're not upwardly mobile.
Jacksonville ain't getting the. Now, Jacksonville might have an outside shot because they do have Trevor Lawrence if you believe in him.
I think he's getting worse.
But that would be the third.
He seems to be regressing.
He's regressing.
I agree with you. But of those, I would take him. I'd rather, I think, coach Trevor Lawrence than Derek Carr. I'd rather coach him than Gardner Minshew.
Of course. Right?
So I'm saying that'd be my third choice. But I think the only two, if you're in demand. Now, if you're just some loser coordinator that nobody really knows and you know, you got a favor and a relationship and they're going to hire you, take it.
Did you read the article about
if you're a has-been,
on ESPN about coaches who had been fired and what they did after they got fired? So it featured five coaches who had been fired in the last couple of years, but one of them was Ron Rivera. He wants back in the game big time. Like a lot of those guys seemed okay. I can't remember which one it was. One person said he got fired, didn't know what to do, went to South Africa with his wife for like 2 weeks just to like reset. But Rivera, I can't remember where he went. He went somewhere with his wife and he basically just came to his conclusion. You may not agree with it. His conclusion was he just got spread too thin and didn't coach. Delegated too much, so he actually wants to just coach.
Well, that may have been right, but then when he started coaching toward the end, I think his defense was worse than ever.
Right.
When he said, I'm going to really drill down on the coaching part because I have been getting spread too thin, nothing changed.
But at that point, it's too late. I mean, the talent is what
it is. It was probably irrecoverable at that point.
Yeah.
It was interesting because
he's a nice guy.
Other guys had different perspectives.
He doesn't want to go out like that.
And look, Dan Quinn was one of the persons featured.
He was embarrassed.
He was definitely embarrassed.
Dan Quinn, when he got fired, he was on a mission to figure out what he was doing wrong.
Yes.
And he got assessments from all these people as to what was missing,
right,
what he needed to do better.
Right.
And he became obsessed with those things.
Right.
And Dan's thing was he learned to actually delegate more.
Dan who? Oh, Dan Quinn. Quinn. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was too much of a control freak.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
That's smart.
It's a balance.
If you trust the people
Ron
you're hiring,
apparently he delegated too much.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of flaws in Ron's coaching. But I understand. I could totally understand. No, he could get hired, Jason.
I don't think
A place like an eccentric owner in a place that, where they get turned down.
Like the
Ben
Jets.
Johnson.
The Jets.
Ben Johnson is not taking the Jets job.
No.
I'll bet all the money.
But he's got to be way down the list. Ron's got to be way down the list of all
and
the people they're interviewing.
Maybe Ron has to lower his expectations.
So that would mean one of those hot coordinators have to say, nope, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah, if you're a hot coordinator, don't
take Ron's getting a head job. Maybe he just goes down a tier and settles in as a DC. Like, if somebody wants a defensive coordinator,
I could see that.
Maybe Ron's that guy.
That would be his best way to rehab his image, in my opinion.
Yeah, like if he really wants back in and people don't want to hire him as the head guy,
mm-hmm,
be the DC.
Maybe he could be Dan Campbell's DC.
Possibly. I mean, if he loses
Aaron
Glenn,
it's a high-profile gig.
It's a great gig.
Yeah.
It's not a great gig when you lose 13 or 14 starters like Aaron Glenn has lost, but he found a way to limit the Vikings to 9 points this past
weekend. That was the most impressive defensive performance I've seen in a long time.
Was.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
So here's what Rivera did after he got fired. So he gets fired, 4 seasons here. He went to New York City and went to Broadway and caught plays with his wife. That was his escape. Like I said, somebody went with his wife to South Africa. He went there. But then he got back and was like, I want to get back into the NFL.
If you're an NFL head coach and you're really into show tunes, I'm going to knock you down a few pegs.
Here's
I like me some show tunes.
I mean, some of them are fine, but a lot of them I could just do without.
Here's the article. It says, Rivera spent too much of his time in Washington managing issues that stretch far beyond football. Minimal time coaching, delegated too much. Rivera said, I came away saying there were times I didn't feel like I was coaching as much as I was managing. Mm-hmm. I learned a really great saying, let's focus on what's important, not what's interesting.
Oh, he used to say that all the time. Remember he used to say that all the time? Oh.
But there's only 6 jobs, and I got, and Vrabel's getting one of them. Ben Johnson's probably getting another one, and I'll say Aaron Glenn. All right.
Right.
So that's 3.
They seem like locks.
So there's 3 spots open, and maybe there's a surprise. Maybe a college coach takes one of these jobs. I just don't see any openings for a guy.
Did I
like
see
that.
The Bears had Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator from the Cardinals, on their list? That offense stunk this year.
Uh-huh.
Why would you interview him? I just don't understand some
that's
of these.
That's relationships.
Maybe,
often.
Yeah. Maybe
your mentor
knows
is
him
there.
Somehow.
Yeah, or somebody somewhere. It's a who you know business.
Yes,
back to
Petzing
Belichick.
Was interviewing, yep.
I could see Belichick coming back in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, that's
but I do think he's going to
he ain't doing
start.
It now.
And I don't know whether it's true or not. Some people say that he took this job to set up his son to take over, that maybe was part of the deal.
I'm sure that makes a lot of sense.
Because what is one son was coaching at Washington?
Yeah, he left the Patriots because Jerod Mayo, I guess, forced him out. That sounds like that whole year was a disaster in New England. A lot of dysfunction.
Well, I saw Jerod Mayo. I don't know if you saw this. Jerod Mayo wanted to be such a player's coach that after one of their losses, they get on the plane, and he went to the back of the plane and was playing cards with the guys. I said all the other coaches are looking at film. And like that's usually what coaches do. They get on the plane and they get on their laptop. And they're looking at film, obsessing.
Yeah.
And he was playing cards.
That's play true.
That's true. You got to fire him. He's not prepared.
Well, he already was.
Oh, that's why Kraft said, you're
Kraft
out of
said,
here.
Yeah. If that's true,
Kraft said, I'm getting Vrabel.
Yeah. Right. But I will
Vrabel's
say this.
Available, I'm getting him.
It's crazy to me that a guy like Belichick, who I didn't particularly want to hire because he set his ways or whatever, but I was stunned that no one had interest. That he's forgotten about more football than all these guys that are in the running. And then, but a year later, then we re-embrace him again. Like Vrabel.
Absence Vrabel, makes the heart grow fonder.
It's so crazy. Like, you know, we do it with backup quarterbacks. We do it with quarterbacks that sit out a year, and all of a sudden we pine for them.
Right.
You know, like, I'm surprised we're not going crazy for Mitch Trubisky right now.
Oh.
Because that's what people do. They back up for a year or two, and then all of a sudden people go, Let's give him another shot.
He played better than your boy Carson in the last couple of games.
I know they didn't score any points. I don't know. I didn't see any of the highlights, so.
They didn't play anybody in the intro.
They had, yeah, none of their starters were in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I mean, these jobs will be plucked pretty soon, man. And by the way, out of all, getting back to the Commanders here for a second, out of all the possible slots for the weekend, TV slots, yeah, they get the worst one.
What?
Sunday night? Oh, it's a fun game.
They get the best one. It's Jaden and
not for
time.
Us.
Not for us, of course, but
it's
for them.
It's the worst one for us.
But for them, it's a great spot.
Yeah, I don't care about
it. You get Tirico and Collinsworth.
It's the worst. We don't want to stay up until 11:30 on Sunday night.
Hey, sometimes you just got to suck it up. Just got to
know what I'm doing.
Work on 4 hours of sleep.
You know what I'm doing.
Well, couldn't they be Monday night? Wouldn't that even be worse?
Monday night would be worse. Got to be a little bit later, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday night,
I know what you're going to do. You're going to wake up at 3. You're going to watch all the plays. You're going to fast forward through the commercials.
Been back for an hour. Guy's been off for like 2 months. Been back for an hour. It's already sweating to sleep.
I am.
It's his thing.
I can't do it.
He's very on brand. All right, when we come back, we will hit the Skins, give you the latest as they prepare for their primetime playoff matchup that Jason Bishop is certainly ready for this Sunday night. And don't forget, Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, he'll join the show coming up at 7:20.